scripture in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, that is upon my heart this morning. So would you stand with me for the reading of the word of the Lord in Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 25. You know, it's amazing. I was thinking about the other day, it's been 2 years since I've seen my grandparents, and boy, time just gets away in a hurry. And I remember when I came here with Brother Addis, he had this idea, and he had it arranged, he said, with the deacons that we were going to get to go home every 6 weeks. He was going, and I was going every 6 weeks. And I was raised in a pastor's home in a good-sized church with a Christian school, and I didn't want to tell him that was naive, but I knew good and well, no way can you get away every 6 weeks. Just not going to happen. But 2 years probably was a little bit slack on my part. So I'm excited to go see family and to get back and to see what the Lord has for us next year. Amen. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? Amen. When you look back over the time that we've had together this year, I mean, we're blessed. We are a blessed people. We really are. I know there are things that are going on in the economy, but think about it. Think about it just for a second. You put gas in your car when it was $4 a gallon, didn't you? Didn't you? We made it. And so God's going to take care of us. He may have to teach us a few things. There may be some ups and downs, but how many know our faithfulness is upon God? Amen. Amen. We're not going down because He's not going down if we keep our trust and our faith in Him. But I want to ask you this morning a simple question. How do you see Jesus? How do you see Jesus? In the text that we read today in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. How do you see Jesus? And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Now this is about 40 days after the birth of Jesus. If you go back and read about Levitical law, this is the purification of the mother as they bring the child back into the temple 40 days after the baby has been born. So Jesus is, you know, about 7 weeks old. And so Simeon has been waiting for the arrival of God's son. And so verse number 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. How do you see Jesus? How do you see Jesus? Simeon said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated this morning. How do you see Jesus? Some see Jesus just as a historical figure along the lines of a president or a statesman. Think about the power of Jesus and the power of this babe, because from Thanksgiving to New Year's, this whole world is celebrating the arrival of a baby named Jesus. Really, it's a time like no other throughout the year that he captivates not just a day, not just an hour, but really a whole month. Is captivated by the arrival of this baby. Now for some, when they look at Jesus and look at his life, they say, well, he's on the lines of a great statesman, or, you know, a great historical figure, or a world leader. For others, they'll say, well, he's a religious leader. He is the one that founded Christianity. He's a religious man. For far too many, he's irrelevant. He's really irrelevant. They buy gifts and give gifts, but Jesus is irrelevant. They sing songs and hang Christmas lights, but for them, Jesus is irrelevant. Because of the rest of the year, the rest of their life, he is not part of their everyday lifestyle. He's just irrelevant. He's unimportant. They're as good without him or with him. I'm glad that's not my life today. I'd hate to think what life would be like without Jesus. Others look at Jesus and say, well, he's just, it's that religious thing, I really don't need it. I'm doing fine without religion. But today, I'm not asking about religion, I'm asking about Jesus. There are a lot of religions in the world, but there's only one Jesus that we call the Son of God. And for some, they say, well, that religion thing is just like, it's insufficient. It doesn't answer my questions to life. It's insufficient. Others say, well, you know what? Some worship Jesus. Some worship Buddha. Others worship Muhammad. I worship careers. I worship money. I'm at the altar of philosophy. He's just replaceable. How do you see Jesus? How do you really see him? When I look at the life of Jesus, to me, he is the only way to be saved. When I look at Jesus, I look at God's Son wrapped in flesh. That I see more than just a cute baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, but I see God caring enough for me that he gave his Son for the whole entire world as a ransom on a tree. This was given to me by Sister Marcia the other day, and to me, I hate to disappoint any children in the building today, but to me, Santa Claus is not what Christmas is about, and it's simply a fictitious character, so I'll let you parents deal with that, but I never taught my children to believe in Santa Claus. But let me give you 14 reasons why Jesus is better. Santa lives at the North Pole, but Jesus lives in the heart of every believer. They teach the children that Santa rides in a sleigh, but my Jesus is better than that, because my Jesus can ride on the wings of the wind and he can walk on water. I say Jesus is far, far better. Santa comes once a year, but Jesus is an ever-present help in time of trouble. I say Jesus is better. Santa fills stockings with goodies, but Jesus supplies all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Santa, you have to wait in a line to see him, but Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Hallelujah. Some say that Santa will let you sit on his lap, but Jesus will let you rest in his everlasting arms. He is the reason for the season. Some say that Santa tries to call you by name, but all he says is, "Hi, little girl," or "Hi, little boy," because he doesn't know your name. But Jesus knew your name before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. All Santa offers is ho, 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 but Jesus offers help, hope, and help. Santa says you better not cry, but Jesus says cast all your cares on me. I say, I'll take Jesus. What about you? Amen. Santa makes little toys, but Jesus makes new lives. He mends broken homes, and he repairs wounded hearts, and he builds mansions in glory. Hallelujah. He is the reason for the season. Some say that Santa can make you laugh, but Jesus is far better because he gives you everlasting joy. Santa puts gifts under the tree, but Jesus did one better than that because he became our gift and he died on a tree. Amen. Friend, I want to tell you today, I don't want to commercialize it so much that I cannot see who Jesus really is. When you see him, who do you see? Well, let's look at Simeon. When he picked up Jesus, he broke out in a praise and a worship to God because of the power of this child. He began to worship God because of who this baby was. This is God's son. This is the Lord's Christ. This is the answer for sin's problems that for 400 years this world had groped in darkness between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But when we stepped into the pages of the New Testament, God reached down and selected a young virgin by the name of Mary, who was espoused to a devout man by the name of Joseph, and said, you are going to welcome my son into this world. And what a celestial night that was, that even the heavens filled with angels as they began to say glory to God in the highest. Amen. Can I tell you, for 4,000 years, this world had marched toward that dark night in that little stable. Amen. For 400 centuries, we had looked and wondered, when will God send his son? Amen. We started out in the book of Genesis when that little verse said, there's going to be the seed of a woman. Well, that's contrary to nature, because the seed doesn't come from the woman, but it comes from the man. But God said, I'm going to do something different when I send my son into this world. The human seed of a man will not be required, but my spirit, the Holy Ghost, will overshadow Mary. And when she brings that baby boy into this world, he'll not need a trip to an altar to get saved, because he will not be tainted with the Adamic nature, but he will be pure. He will be sinless. He'll be spotless. He'll be divine. And as the little children had to memorize a verse this week that I worked with Brooklyn about this morning, that we beheld the glory as of the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And who was that talking about? Well, I had to tell her it was talking about the Word. Well, who's the Word, Dad? Here's the Word. Dad, no, it's talking about a different word, because in John 1:1 it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What Word was he talking about? He wasn't talking about a black back book with 66 different titles. He wasn't talking about a book that has been written in thousands of languages and is the best selling book year after year, but he was talking about a different word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Well, who was with God? Who was there? Well, Hebrews answered that and said that by the word of his power, everything that was made and is upheld by the word of his power. Who was
was he talking about? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who can be co-eternal with God? Who can be co-existent with God? Who can be co-equal with God except God? He was talking about his Son Jesus, and the Word was made flesh, and Mary brought forth that babe and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and God looked down over the sacred precincts of eternity and said, "That is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That shall be the Redeemer. That will be the Savior. That will be the one that frees men from the curse of the law." It's no wonder that Simeon said, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." It's no wonder Anna comes into the sanctuary and begins to worship him. It's no wonder that the wise men bring gifts from afar to celebrate this baby. It's no wonder the shepherds, that they leave their flocks by night and say, "We must come and find him whose Star of David has guided us into this little manger." It's no wonder that the angels begin to sing hallelujah to the Lord God of heaven, because it was Jesus. I said his name is Jesus, and it was more than just Mary's baby. It was more than Joseph's spouse's son, but it was God's Son wrapped in flesh. My God, he was deity. He was divinity. He was eternal. Oh, yes, they try to bring him down and make him just one of many leaders. But I feel the spirit of the Mount of Transfiguration when the cloud come in and it overshadowed them on the mountain. They fell down as dead men and they looked up, and Jesus' shining garments of his deity broke forth, and they said, "Oh, we can't compare him to Moses. We can't compare him to Isaiah. We can't compare him to Elijah. This is God's Son." And his Father said, "In whom I am well pleased." Who you gonna compare Jesus to? I said, who can you compare the Son of God to? Well, you say, well, what about Noah? Well, let's compare him to Noah. Well, Noah's a good man, it seemed like. Lived in a sinful day, a God-forsaken world, where every thought and every imagination was wicked against God. And Noah made a boat, and he saved his family. 8 people saved. Well, compare Noah to Jesus. Well, Jesus built an ark that is so big that whosoever will, that calls upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Well, Abraham was a great man. Yes, he was. As he climbed Mount Moriah and he laid his son down upon that altar to offer him as a burnt sacrifice, and he took out the knife to slay his son, but God stopped him and said, "You don't have to do it, Abraham. I'll call you the father of the faithful." But compare him to Jesus, who when they hung him high and they stretched him wide, that he could have called legions of angels, but he loved me enough that he let him play his side with the sword. He let him drive the nails in his hands. He let him plait the crown of thorns, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I say, you can't compare him. You can't compare him to anybody. Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, Paul and Peter and John, who you gonna compare Jesus to? It's God. It's not just a man. Amen. I feel like trying to elevate him this morning, because they bring him down so low. He wasn't like me and you. Yes, he was flesh and blood, but he had no Adamic nature. I said he was born of a virgin. You can't compare him to anybody in this world. There's never been a man like Jesus. There's never going to be another one like Jesus. The wind winds laid down in obedience to him. When he said, peace be still, disease, it had to flee at the mention of his name. Whether it was leprosy or the woman with the issue of blood, every disease had to flee at the mention of his name. Even the devils in hell, they tremble at his name. And you want me to sit quiet and not get excited about Jesus? Even death, I said death, that has conquered every man that lived upon this world, even death could not conquer this glorious babe. For on that Easter morning, I said he got up, he dusted off death, he put the keys to death, hell, and grave on his side, and said, I am he that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. He that was dead is alive. That's my Jesus. I said, that's my Jesus. That's the baby. That's the Savior. That's the Redeemer. That's who I worship. Buddha can't compare. Muhammad can't compare. Nobody can compare to my Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. How do you see Jesus? Can you replace him? Is he irrelevant to you? As powerful as he is. Oh, hail the power in Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. And Simeon had groped with the hope that one day he would see the Son of the living God. And here comes this young parents with the baby 7 weeks old. And as soon as he picks up that baby, he said, God, I can die now. I've seen him. He's here. I don't hope for him anymore. He is here. The answer has arrived. Oh, glory to God today. Hear me, church. Hear me, sinner friend. Any question you have, let me give you the name of Jesus. He is the answer. Any question you have, he is the answer. The sin question, he is the answer. The depressed question, he is the answer. The sin-sick question, he is the answer. You're sick in body, he is the answer. Matter of fact, the question of death. I just kind of really, since the Christmas banquet last Saturday night, this has been on my heart, and I prayed for a lot of you that have lost loved ones this year. And so I tell you what I'd like for you to do is, I appreciate you standing with me, and I don't mean any disrespect here, but would you sit down real quickly? And if you've lost a loved one this year, I want you to stand real quickly. Spouse, son, daughter, mother, father. How powerful is this baby? How powerful is this child, Jesus? He's so powerful that if we put our trust in him, one day, I pray very soon, the last chapter is not when they close the casket in the sanctuary. The last chapter is not when they lower our loved one in the ground. This baby is so powerful. The final chapter has not been written yet. But his announcing angel is going to grab the trumpet. Oh, he's going to grab that trumpet. And he's going to sound a trumpet so loud that it's going to pierce down into the caverns of the dead and those that have died in Christ. Amen, Brother Edwards. Amen, Sister Lundy. These others that have died in faith. Oh, glory to God. This babe is not a babe anymore. He's not wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he's sitting at the right hand of God. Oh, hallelujah. I say glory to God. We're going together around the throne of glory. And he's so powerful that death can't steal my hope. I said death can't steal my hope. But there's a great getting of morning. We're on the brink of the resurrection and the rapture of the church. And in my heart, I say hallelujah. In my heart, I say glory. In my heart, I say thank you, God, for Jesus. In my heart, I say thank you for the hope. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you, oh God, for the hope that burns brightly. Replace him. Replace him. Make him irrelevant. This baby. No. I want him preeminent. I want him first. I want to fall before him today and say thank you. I worship you. I honor you. I love you. He's my Jesus. Is he your Jesus? Have you made him irrelevant? Have you just made him a part of your life instead of him being your life? Have you replaced him? Some people replace him with other people, other gods, or things and trinkets of this world. He's everything to me. Without him, I don't even want to go there. I don't want to ponder Christmas without Christ. But the fact is, he came and I've received him. Simeon reached down and he picked up the baby. He received him. There's no devil in hell that could stop God from sending his son. God sent his son. My question for you is, how do you see Jesus? I trust today, pick him up and receive the gift of life. The gift of hope, the gift of contentment, the gift of heaven, the gift of eternal life. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you for this congregation. Thank you for your spirit. Lord, this is all about you. You're not a part of life. You are our life. You're everything. You're absolutely everything. There is no life in this world apart from you. Lord, we have seen this year our economy. There's no hope. There's security there. It comes and it goes. World peace. We've seen it come and we've seen it go. Security is found in you. Lord, I felt today that I was going to be sent into this auditorium because there are those that have made you a part of their life. You don't want to be a part of their life. You want to be their life. And I pray today, Lord, that you would quickly search the hearts and minds.
just a moment when we come to the altar. I pray, Lord, that everyone would receive this gift of life, salvation. Lord, they don't have to necessarily come to this altar. They can kneel at their pew. But I pray, Lord, with the same spirit that Simeon reached down and picked you up, said, I see who Jesus is, that everybody in this auditorium today would allow you into their life. Say, I see who Jesus is. Amen. Would you stand with me all over this building this morning? Amen. Can you just lift a hand and worship Him as they begin to sing? Can we just worship Him?